Happy anniversary.
This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia are are nga mata.
Kia are are nga mata.
Kia are are nga mata.
Yeah.
Good. Say it again.
Kia are are nga mata.
Ano, kia are are nga mata.
Yeah.
Woo!
Let's get ready to rumble.
Welcome, Sam Smith, everybody.
Yes,
kia are are nga mata.
Yep. Yeah, hi, welcome back. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yes, it has been.
But today we're looking at Nina Simone.
Yes.
The Soul Queen.
1978.
The goddess. Her album Baltimore from 1978. Yeah, it's a 24th studio album. Can you believe that? She's released so many albums.
It was 11 years before I was born.
10 years before I was born.
True.
But yeah, it's turning 30.
Yeah.
No, 40.
No, what am I saying?
Sorry.
41.
I'm getting confused because I'm turning 30 this year.
Oh my God.
I know. Anyway, enough of that.
Maths is hard.
It is hard. So just a bit of background about what the stage of Nina Simone's career. Of course, by 1978, she had this illustrious career as a jazz soul singer in the 50s and 60s. Her career was 20 years old by this stage. She'd been a figurehead for music during the Civil Rights Movement, as we all know. Contributed some great anthems to that movement. But by the 1970s, her career had kind of hit a rocky patch. A lot of people actually got pissed off with her for her political songwriting and for being a figurehead for the Civil Rights Movement. And people were annoyed that she was writing some of these quite politically charged fans. A lot of the industry actually distanced themselves from her. A lot of fans boycotted her music.
Mm.
So her career was kind of on the decline, which is why she actually ended up leaving the US, and she ended up living in Barbados for a few years just to kind of get away from the negative attention and, I guess, get out of the spotlight. So by 1974, she'd lost her record contract, and her career was kind of, you know, stagnating. But in 1978, she got to the stage where she'd only released one full album in 8 years, and many thought her career was done. Most people didn't even know where she was or what had happened to her. However, a chance meeting the year before in 1977 with a jazz producer by the name of Creed Taylor, he got Nina signed to a new record label, CTI, which is a jazz label, and the two of them sit down together and decided to record an album, which was to become this album Baltimore. The sessions were quite a tense affair. Nina didn't agree with a lot of the production techniques of Taylor and his influence on the sound of this record. He brought in quite a strong reggae feel to the album, quite a contemporary feel, I guess. And also Nina's behavior was growing increasingly erratic, which kind of slowed the sessions down. Of course, later on, she would be diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So this was kind of the start of that, I guess. And she did eventually record all the vocals for the album in 1 hour-long setting, which is quite impressive.
It is.
When there's like about 12 songs. So that's like, wow. And Nina also had a problem with a lot of the material. She later said that it wasn't her personal choice, because it's interesting, she'd always had creative control over her albums, but she had to give up some of that creative control on this record. And I'm not too sure she was entirely happy about that. But as we can see, the result is quite an eclectic mix sound-wise on this album. We go from reggae to soul to R&B to traditional piano jazz ballads. There's a bit of gospel as well. And it's actually interesting because this is an album made up completely of covers. And usually Nina Simone's records, she's got a couple of originals on there. But this is all covers. Some of them are traditional folk songs, quite old American traditional folk songs, and others are actually more contemporary tracks, which we will see. But we're going to start with the opening track and the title track of the album, which is called Baltimore, and this is actually originally by American singer-songwriter Randy Newman. And Nina puts her own kind of reggae-tinged take on it.
So, boom.
See what you think.
There it is.
There it is. Reggae, baby.
It's so beautiful. Enjoy, everybody.
Up little seagull on a marble stair, trying to find the ocean, looking everywhere. Hard times in the city, in a hard see.
waiting for a train. Drunk, lying on the sidewalk, sleeping in the rain.
Boy, what a great time.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So we're talking about how the original sucked in comparison to this cover.
Program director Sarah came in.
And
she came in and basically said that the Randy Newman version's like California Dadcore.
We branded it Dadcore.
Randy Newman used to compose the songs like You Got a Friend in Me and the Toy Story.
Yeah, Speak Your Peace.
It's very different. He kind of sings like he's got a bunch of rubber bands in his mouth. He's a good songwriter.
He's a very good songwriter.
But as you were saying before, it's an album of covers. I don't think anybody realized what Nina Simone was going to do to that Randy Newman song.
No.
And definitely made it her own.
She did. I honestly thought it was an original of hers when I first heard it. So.
Well, she makes everything sound original. I guess the beauty of Nina, she makes it look easy.
I know. No straining here.
Yeah.
At least you see her live in concert, and then you're like, damn, you're working hard.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah, I know that. But, like, you know what I mean?
All right. Well, we're gonna change things up again with the next track. We're going to move from that kind of cool, slow reggae vibe to a more kind of electric R&B feel with the next track, which is called The Family. And this is track number 3, originally by John Hurley and Ronnie Wilkins.
All right, give me a second here. Blah, 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 blah. So this one's The Family, right?
Yeah,
Kablam.
The Family. Or The Family, am I right?
Yeah.
pigs all took the cotton and the cows all took the dry. But the varmints left behind and the son took up to die. Trouble took to daddy like dewdrops take to night. Mama took to crying a lot and daddy took to wild. And I took a train out of there.
Took a train out of there.
I told the engineer I don't believe there's no heaven help the tie that binds a family.
Heaven help the tie that binds a family. Heaven help the tie that binds a family.
Flowers took to daddy, and daddy he took to gum. Sister took to black real nice, and mama cried alone. Brother he took up preaching, and the bank man took the palm. My mom away, she can't do herself no harm. Then I took a train out of there. I told the engineer, I don't believe there's no
help.
Heaven help the tie that binds
the family.
Don't you just love the bit of gospel?
Man, I've lost my voice so much I sound like James Brown.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually pretty good, right?
I think that's pretty good imitation, yeah.
Man.
That's your future calling.
For those of you who are sick right now, like, I feel you.
I feel you, deep down.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So,
I hope you're enjoying this Nina Simone.
That was The Family. And The next track I'm going to play is track number 6. And this is a very well-known song. It's called Rich Girl, of course, by Hall & Oates, who we all know. And this was like their first big hit, actually, just the year before. Kind of broke them on the scene.
I get this stuck in my head all the time.
Got a pretty catchy lyrics, pretty catchy melody. But Nina puts her own spin on it, as she's done with all these tracks, that it's kind of, you know, very different from the original. Very much Nina Simone.
Yeah. You can rely on your old man's money. Everyone knows a rich girl out there with the honey money.
Honey money.
Honey money. Money, honey. Get you that.
Love it. All right. Should we go on to another track?
Yeah, so now it's getting biblical.
We're going to go down this biblical route now. We're going to take it to church, go down a more spiritual.
Yeah, let's go
work.
To church now.
We're going to cool things down here. This is track number 9. This is more kind of classic Nina Simone in terms of downbeat kind of soul, jazz. And this is an old traditional American folk song. It's called Balm in Gilead. Oh, love the piano.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead to make six souls.
lovely.
It was lovely.
Lovely.
Yay.
Yay. So, looking at the reception and the legacy of this album,
yes.
The album came out and it wasn't very commercially successful at all, didn't do anything really, but then again, Nina's career wasn't really ever about sales or commercial success. Critically, it was mixed. Some praised her change of direction and a more contemporary sound. Others were less satisfied and felt the album was a bit disjointed. And Nina, actually, incidentally, she disowned the album after its release.
Well, that's very Nina, isn't it?
It is very Nina, isn't it?
She can do what she likes.
Yeah, she can. The album got a lot of press, though, and I guess because it was her big comeback, or it was supposed to be her big comeback, but it didn't kind of in the end result in this commercial success or a positive restart to her career, which I think she might have hoped for. But in the end, she actually quit this record label after this one and only album, and she wouldn't make another album again until 1982. Instead, she focused on touring and kind of, you know, staying out of the spotlight in some respects. So it was a bit of a career, it was a brief career starter for her, but being in the wilderness for so long, in the end, I think its legacy was, yeah, showing people again that she was still around, capable of making music despite her own issues and what people thought of her, and musically resulted in a nice eclectic mix of songs, which on the whole were quite stylistically different from her other work, quite contemporary. And as we know, she recorded 3 more studio albums after this and a whole range of live albums. She made tons of live albums, actually, in her career. And right up to the early 90s, before she pretty much spent the last 10 years of her life in relative obscurity, unfortunately, before she sadly died in 2003, aged only 70.
Yeah, very young.
Very, very young, and yeah, kind of just a...
I mean, still like very incredible, well-lived life.
No question about it. 70s.
No apologies.
No apologies at all. She laid it out there.
I love that story that she says where she tried to kill someone who...
It's such a good video. Because some guy, I think it was some record label guy, took her money and she was like, I went in there and I shot him. I'm sorry I didn't kill him. It's a great video. You can find it on YouTube and she has no regrets whatsoever.
I want to find it.
Oh, she's on the case.
Gun interview. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, right, hold up. I'm just going to see. Should I use it as a segue into the next song?
Why not? Well, we're going to, because the final song we're going to play is called If You Pray Right, which is another gospel take on an American traditional track. But why not?
All right.
Let's go out with some Nina saying, I'm going to get that manna, and then we'll have some of her music.
Sweet. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Sam.
No worries. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Yeah. And enjoy, everybody.
I was a record company that stole my albums and didn't pay me, and they came to Switzerland. And I said, where's my money? And they said, we're not going to give you any money. I said, oh, yes, you are. And I got a gun.
Yes.
It was a gun. It wasn't a knife. And I followed him to a restaurant, and I tried to kill him. I missed him, and I went back to America.
You actually pulled the trigger?
Excuse me. Yes, I did.
Damn right you did.
But I felt better for it.
Oh, yes. Sorry I didn't get him.
God bless you, Nina.
And God bless you all, I guess.
Praise the Lord.
Here we go.
You know, do you, if you pray right, do you, if you pray right, do you, oh, and belong to you, if you sing right. Belong to you, oh, and belong to you.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.